Namo Vishnu Panaya Kashyapeshaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Viranta Swamini Tinavini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyadi Sitari Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prima Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Bhuvati Sehidwa Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadarha Shivasari Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, dear Buddhists, and Happy New Year to you. Happy Krishna Conscious New Year. The aim of life is to serve the senses of Krishna. The instructions have been given, what we call Bhakti Yoga, devotional service, is for just that purpose. You have these small books in front of you. And one of the things that I would like to request as a matter of etiquette is that you don't put any spiritual book on the floor. So if you've done that, pick it up and hold it. You shouldn't put spiritual books on the floor. They are as important as Krishna himself. So, we continue Nectar of Instruction, that's the book that you have. There are 11 texts in there, and today we'll be talking about text number 2, which is on page 14. Page 14. In the small book, page 14, you'll see that. The six things that we're supposed to stay away from, if we don't stay away from that, it can destroy our devotional service, our devotional kripa. So those are the things that we're going to talk about today, so that this year we go after it with much zeal in Krishna consciousness and avoiding the things that could put us in different negative situations, or what we call pitfalls. Alright, so I will turn this Sanskrit and please repeat after me. Achahara prayasascha.
Achahara prayasascha.
Achahara prayasascha.
Achahara prayasascha.
Prajapo nima niyamagraha.
Prajapo niyamagraha.
Prajapo niyamagraha.
Prajapo niyamagraha.
Jana sangascha lolyam cha.
Jana
sangascha lolyam
cha.
Satvir bhakti vinashati. Satvir bhakti vinashati. Achahara prayasascha. Prajapo niyamagraha. Jnana sangascha lolyam cha. Sadhi bhakti vinashati. Atyahara prayasascha. Prajapo niyamagraha. Jana sangascha yulyam cha. Sadhi bhakti vinashati. So now we'll do the word for word. Please repeat after me. Atyahara, overeating or too much collecting. Prayasa, over-endeavoring. Cha, and. Prajapa, idle talk. Niyama, rules and regulations. Agraha, too much attachment to, or agraha, too much neglect of. Janasanga. Association with worldly minded persons. Cha and Lolyam. Ardent longing or greed. Cha and Sadbi. By these six. Bhakti. Devotional service. Vinashati. Is destroyed. Translated by Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One's devotional service is spoiled when he becomes too entangled in the following six activities. One, eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required. Two, over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. 3. Talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. 4. Practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically. 5. Associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. And 6. Being greedy for mundane achievements. The purport is, the purport for all of them are basically the bulk of the book. So this purport is long. We will take it section by section. Om Ajinati Vidandasya Jnana Ganashalakaya Chakshu Om Litam Vena Tasmai Shri Guru Venama Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Sapitam Vena Puchale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Vidanti Swam Pradantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadara Ashva Shri Guru Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Anandanilamaya vigrahaya himabhya divichakusundaraya tasmi maha prema raspataya chitaya chandraya namo namaste chitaya chandraya namo namaste chitaya chandraya namo namaste chitaya chandraya namo namaste. So this is the beginning of the year, 1st January 2023, and we're starting with the things that we need to stay away from. So it looks like this will be our congregation meant for purification. When one gets purified, then they are stopping the negative things. When the negative things get stopped, then they are only things that are either neutral or things that are positive. That's the only things that are left. And so, the first of the six things that one has to stay away from is, in Sanskrit, atyahara, overeating or collecting too much. Now, one of our sannyasis, Chandramali Swami, made it clear to us that, so I'll just repeat what he said, that yeah, we can eat regularly the quantities that we do. Sometimes when there's a feast, there's so much different, many different preparations prepared. And the chances are very high that that day, practically all of us will eat normally, not normally, but more than we normally eat. So Maharaj says that doesn't violate this overeating situation. Once in a while, that can happen because of festivities. So that will happen, and nobody's to worry about that. But we're talking about their day-to-day eating habits, the day-to-day eating habits. So overeating, Srila Prabhupada said that if we eat too much, it would affect our health. If we eat too little, that's not good either. But compared to eating too much, eating little is actually safer than eating too much. So that's why here, talk overeating or collecting too much. Now, Srila Prabhupada breaks it down so wonderfully in the purport section. So we'll start with the purport section. You can follow for a little while. So the purport says, human life is meant for plain living and high thinking. Plain living and high thinking. living simply to satisfy the body, the needs of the body. And thinking means, high thinking means thinking at the spiritual level. At the spiritual level. Material, anything is temporary. It's going to be with us for a while and it's going to leave. Or our souls will come out of that situation. Physical body as well as anything else that we have. That's why this first one says, don't collect too much. Now, only human beings do that, collecting too much. And so we are being taught how to come to the proper mindset about items. So human life is meant for plain living and high thinking. And since all conditioned beings, living beings, are under the control of the Lord's, so it says here, third energy. The material world is designed so that one is obliged to work. And this is where it starts. Work, get some remuneration, or we call it paycheck, or some sort of money for the work that we do. And we have a free choice to, you know, as to how we use the money. And this is how sometimes this over-collecting business comes in. So since the Srila Prabhupada puts in the purport that the Lord's third energy is what controls us. So that means there are three energies at the very least. Since the third energy has to be the first energy, the second energy, so that's there. So the first energy is the superior energy, the spiritual energy, Antaranga Shakti. The second is called Tatastha Shakti, or marginal potency. And the third, which is the one that's controlling conditioned souls in the material world, is called the external potency, or the Bahiranga Shakti. So, inarguably, we can say there is the internal potency, Antaranga Shakti, external potency, Bahiranga Shakti, and the middle, the second one, is marginal in that it's, and that's what applies to us. We can choose to be on the spiritual side, or the internal potency, on the Antaranga Shakti, or we can choose to connect with the Bahiranga Shakti, the external potency. So that Tathasta Shakti, or the marginal potency, is because of the free will given to man, that they can pick where they want, or material or spiritual. So we are kind of at the wall, the margin between, that's why it's called marginal potency, the margin between, the barrier between the internal potency and the external potency. Internal potency, the spiritual potency. Network instruction explains that when we are under, we choose to be under the internal potency, then we're working with Krishna in our natural way of doing things. We are in our constitutional position. And that constitutional position is to connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all living entities that are spiritual and pure by serving them. By serving them devotionally. And that is our natural activity. Our natural activity is to serve, but we have to serve those who are connected with us spiritually. Guru, sadhu, and we also have to follow the instructions of the spiritual, instructions given in the Shastra, the scriptures. So there is following the instructions of the spiritual master, guru, following instructions of the experienced sadhu, saint, and also being involved in following and reading and even talking about what is in the Shastra or the scriptures like we're doing today. So, Srila Prabhupada describes the nature of us When a person is engaged in devotional service, that person is known as a great soul, Mahatma. So, from the definition, it is not so difficult for devotees to be under the Mahatma category. But you have to remember one thing. Devotees are the absolute minimum percentage of people in the world. Very few people are devotees. Which means to be a devotee is actually a special category. It's supposed to be the normal category. But a lot of people are involved in doing things to satisfy their senses rather than Krishna's senses. A devotee works to satisfy Krishna's senses. And a non-devotee is trying to do anything, especially to over-collect things just for their sense of gratification. How many people buy so many things, especially those who are quite wealthy and famous. Sometimes there's even from somebody just takes a video camera and just finds some information about somebody that's popular or famous and how their lifestyle is like. They have a house here and a house there and a house east and a house west and a house north and a house south and all in between. But it ain't all big buildings. And I remember his owner's Devamis family said, no matter how much you have, you still will sleep in how much space we need to sleep at night in the bed. In one of the rooms, in all of these buildings that you have, in all directions of your head. Yeah, in the meantime, you have to, you know, pay taxes on all of those. And so people collect so much. So much. And then we realize, well, you just go a little bit here, a little bit of time spent here, a little bit of time spent there. And the thing about over-collecting is that it can put you in anxiety also. Because you got to make sure all of them are in good hands. We say in good hands means any of them can be taken away from us by somebody's scheme at any time. I remember a very, 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 very popular African-American lady singer. And she got very, very, very popular because of the style that she was singing. Actually, she was singing mostly in the mode of passion. But people liked it very much. You mentioned names here. And money was coming. The records was making, she was selling, you know, by the millions. So much money was coming. And she concentrated on her craft, her singing ability, working with the band, coming out with one hit after another because she was so experienced in how she used her voice to improvise and make every song just go to a level of its own. And then the news came out, she was broke. We go, what? A person that sold so many records was broke? So she appeared on one of the television talk shows. I can tell you, it's Oprah Winfrey show. She appeared in Oprah Winfrey shows. Oprah Winfrey started questioning her. Brought up the situation that she was broke. What happened? Nobody would expect her to be this broke with being that popular and selling so many records. She said that she had handlers, people who were handling the arrangements for the different shows and people who were handling the money that was coming in and the expenses that have to be paid. And she was concentrating on producing the music with her band. So basically she had given the responsibilities to different people. And it turns out that the people who were handling the money were the people that took off with her money. And so then Oprah was asking, when the money was coming in, anything that had to be done, who signed the checks? He said, those that were responsible for money. Because when he said, you have to sign the checks yourself. So, kind of long story short, a very, very popular musician, lady musician, wound up broke. She had to start all over again. Because what she had in her favor was, she was popular still. But financially, she had to start all over. So that can happen. There are people who are ball players, basketball players, and they play for a while. And of course, this is such an so much you have to put energy into an athlete. So you can only go maybe to your 30s. By the time you hit 40, your body can't go at that rate anymore. And whatever you've collected, you've collected. And that same mistake has been made by people who were collecting millions in this country playing ball, and there was a group that was investing their money for them, and at the time they finished playing, there was no money. The money had been invested, and not invested, but diverted somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So we have to be very, very, very careful on who we work with, but the Nectar of Instruction is telling us, keep it simple. The simpler you make your life, the easier it is to see where things are, materially. And the more you focus on serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the better your chances of leaving this world and going back to Godhead. So that's why Srila Prabhupada says, human life is meant for plain living and also high thinking. Now, prayas, over-endeavoring for things that are very difficult to obtain, for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. One has to work hard for service to the Lord. That is always good. Whatever the situation is, from the effort that you put in, is never wasted. Krishna is responsible for the results of how things happen. But you put in the effort and you work, and you put in from your heart. Don't expect things. I'm talking about spiritual activity now. Work from your heart and be very, very enthused about the work that you're doing. And even sometimes when challenges come, you push ahead anyway. This is for spiritual things. Now, so Nectar of Instruction tells us that we shouldn't over-endeavor for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. But when it comes to spiritual, we should do your very best. Do your very best. Because when it comes to spiritual things, spiritual activities, that's when Maya sometimes tells us, oh, this is too much. You know, yeah, they set every 10, 16 rounds, but you're tired this morning. Do 4 rounds, do the rest of them later on. What do you do for either you grieve to it and do 4 rounds and do about everything else the whole day? And it'd be nice to do the 12 rounds too, but it's 10, almost 11 o'clock at night, and I'm very tired. And so maybe I should just take a break. It's all right. So one day you didn't finish 16. Well, next day maybe you could do something. The way I've dropped my voice, this is how Maya tempts us. It's exactly how it comes up. Don't worry too much. Don't worry too much. And my good Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj says, Maya is an equal opportunity employer. He goes after everybody. Nobody is immune. He goes after everybody. So we have to be on guard. And when it comes to spiritual activities, we should go after. But mundane, we got to keep things in perspective. While we try for mundane things, we have to keep things in perspective. And if it's too much, then there's no point going on. The other thing about it is actually, if you're a devotee, what's going to matter in the end is the spiritual credits that you got. Not how much you got materially. The spiritual credits. That's what, it's going to count. And so it's better to endeavor for service, devotional service, the Supreme Personality of God, to devotees, and also the spiritual master, and not so much for mundane things. So, now, there's this part that we're going to get to that's very, very, very problematic for a number of people. So we'll spend a little more time there. Prajalpa. Prajalpa. Prajalpa direct Correct meaning, English, is gossiping. Gossiping. Now, it was translated here as talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. Talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. So, this is a material world. There's a lot of things that people get interested in. And they are not important for our devotee life. And because more people are concentrating on things that don't matter, then the world is also becoming more and more problematic for us. There are threefold miseries. And those are Adidevic, sufferings caused by the demigods such as droughts and earthquakes and storms. Adibhautik, sufferings caused by other living entities like insects that give us disease or enemies that may come after us wanting to harm us. And Adhyatmika, suffering caused by one's own body and mind. Physical and mental situations. So those are there. And interestingly enough, the material controller, Mother Durga, he has a trident. And the trident has three prongs. And those three prongs represent these three kleshas, the sufferings. And so that is the way it is in the material world. And when one serves devotionally, then they are Mahatma and they are protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His agents. Or one can be a Duratma, a worldly-minded person, mentally crippled person, one that Maya, Parita Jnana, Maya has taken their knowledge from them. And they're not really, really living life with proper understanding of what life is about for a human being. So the main problem, as it says here in the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that conditioned souls are confronted with the repetition of birth, old age, disease, and death. Birth, old age, disease, and death. Interestingly enough, when in a family a new child is born, the family is happy. They have a new addition, maybe the firstborn, secondborn, and so on. One day, one of our gurus brought the attention to me about birth. Alright, so birth means a soul has taken a material body and come to this material world. Well, what is this material world? Is it a wonderful place? It is said that from Brahmaloka down to Pataloka, all the different planets in the material world, there are places of suffering. So when a soul is invited through birth to this earth, which is the planet we used to, the soul has come here into a difficult situation. Quite frankly, if you look at it spiritually, they've come into a difficult situation. What about a soul going to the spiritual world? Isn't that all wonderful when you think about it? But a soul coming to the material world, of course, the parents are already, we're talking about a normal situation here. Some people are born into very, very unfortunate situations. Sometimes, you know, the parents are not even around. They don't even know who their father is. And all kinds of complications come in. But we're talking about a normal family, parents, dating if I want the child. The mother got pregnant, the child has been born, and now they're ready to raise the child. So, we're saying that to say that if you're a parent and you bring a child into this particular arena, they are born into a suffering situation. They are born into a situation where their karma will have to play out. And so, for a parent, you have to try to raise that child both materially and spiritually, but especially spiritually, so that they have the understanding that they should leave and go back to Godhead. That is the primary responsibility of a parent. Everything else is a supporting responsibility. The major responsibility is how the parent can make sure the child goes back to the spiritual world by supplying whatever it takes to help that child to become Krishna conscious, and from the Krishna consciousness, that kind of mentality gets so and so and so very much involved in Krishna consciousness that they see no other thing more important than Krishna consciousness. It's not difficult for children if you put them in an atmosphere where, because they like to play, they're playing and associating with other children who are doing the same thing. It's all connected to Krishna consciousness. It's all connected to Krishna. Then they get used to it. And then with other children who also do the same thing, they become friends. And so they serve together. And then they get used to it, and it's like they just accept it. That's the way it is for us. And then when they grow older, through more preaching, then the intelligence becomes stronger. They see, oh, this is even the best thing to do. So our parents put us in the right situation, and we have to stay in there. And if we get married or marry and get other children, then we'll also put them in the same situation so that they can go back to Godhead. So if a parent is not able to raise a child to get to the spiritual world, then that parent has wasted that particular soul, that child's time. Wasted their time. That is high intelligence. Intelligence is for cultivation of Krishna consciousness in our relationship with them, and our ultimate goal of life, love of Godhead. We call it Krishna Prema. Love of Godhead means that Krishna is going to love us back. It's the relationship that we have between ourselves and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, anyone that's loving, if you have two people that care about each other a lot, they would like to be around each other a lot. Therefore, if Krishna sees that we are serving in love for him, he would also reciprocate or give us protection and different things to make us excited about being Krishna conscious. And he also would like to be with us. And his abode is the abode where there's no anxiety. There's no lamentation. You don't even have to go to school. You don't have to earn a paycheck. You don't, all of those things are there. In the material world, you have to work. Things are supplied, but you have to work for them. And after a while, your bodies break down. It's called old age. No such thing as in the spiritual world. No such thing. And when you think about it, we say God is what? Merciful. He is the strongest. He is the most intelligent. All the positive things you can think of, we say those are the qualities of God. Well, now, if he is that way and he's loving and merciful, then why are we in a situation where the weather sometimes gets so bad? You see, when you look in the on TV, on YouTube, you see all around the world that people struggling. There's all kinds of things. It's either so much snow or so much flood, or so many things. Why? That is what happens in the material world. But in the spiritual world, that is the place that shows, that mirrors the qualities, the wonderful qualities that we say about God, that we know he is. So our home doesn't have any, it's set up such that there's no reason to be in anxiety. You do not have to die. The soul is not born. The soul does not die. The soul's abode is the spiritual world. And so His Divine Grace, the Prabhupada, is bringing our minds back to where it should be. Concentrate on living life such that you go back to the spiritual world, the spiritual life. And with this, we're being told things that we need to stay away from. So pajapa, unnecessary talking. It also involves criticism, false finding. Everybody in the material world, with the exception of a few people who have come from the spiritual world, everybody has faults. They have a positive side or higher nature, and then they have faults or lower nature. If we concentrate on only the false part, she's like this, he's like this, it's also negative, it gets on my nerves, and so on, I can't stand it, on and on and on and on and on. First, you yourself flood your minds with negativity. And negative thinking does, in fact, affect the health, especially when you get older. You'll find out it's not fun at all. The more negative you think, the more sick you become. So you have to stay on the positive side of things. But the thing is, people do have faults. We also have faults. So it's not good to concentrate on somebody's faults only. Faults are also negative things. So to talk about somebody's faults is almost like, you know, projecting something negative at them, or like throwing dirt at them. We wouldn't want to physically throw dirt at a person, but we do it mentally. So yes, problems are there. We shouldn't concentrate on problems. But we should, in fact, be more concerned and connect with positive things that people do. One author put it in a very catchy way. He just said, don't catch people doing wrong. Catch them doing the right thing. We know how to catch people doing wrong, right? I'm not talking about parent to child, because that's a correction situation. Yeah, we're talking about generally, you know, age. Adults. Catch them doing the right thing. In other words, people should reinforce and praise the good things that people do, other people do, rather than criticize. Also, staying with those who are Krishna conscious helps us to stay in the process itself, Krishna consciousness. Janasangha, associating with people who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. If we associate with people who are not into Krishna consciousness, we're not going to grow in Krishna consciousness. We're not. Because they're not going to do anything that will help our Krishna consciousness growth. And sometimes they may even be an impediment. If we try to do things in Krishna consciousness, they don't do that, we'll say, they will say, why are you doing this? And so on. And they don't understand. Sometimes you yourself be uncomfortable being around them. So, Janasangha, it refers to associating with people not interested in Krishna consciousness. And the Prabhupada says, one should strictly avoid such association. Now, when it comes to that, I know a number of us have jobs, and we go into the job, and many of we are to be told, we are such a few number of devotees. Chances are very high that those that we're working with, our co-workers, are not devotees. You do what you have to do with them as far as the work is concerned. That you have to do, because that's why you're there. But when it comes to life outside of the work, outside of work, you have to be around devotees. I remember, this was me, my situation in Maryland. I was teaching at community college. And my class was a class of adults. Many of them will go to work, finish at 5 o'clock, and then come to the class. My class starts at 6 o'clock. I was teaching chemistry at the time. So, like, half the class were adult students, you know, 30, 40, so on. A few, very, very few late teens from high school were there. Now, so, and I was in my 30s myself at that time. And of course, it was obvious. They could tell that age-wise, pretty much the same age, the teacher talking to them. And after a while, they got to like me. After criticizing me a little bit, they got to like me. Towards the middle of the criticism, they could understand this guy. He has a way of explaining things to us. So one Friday evening, when I finished the class, let's go from 6 to 9 o'clock, so 9 o'clock, and they come to me and tell me, we're going to this nightclub and we would like you to come with us. This was the way of this, like, come hang out with us and so on. And the first thing that I said, my mind, these guys have no idea that I'm a devotee. But anyway, so what did I do? I just thanked them. I said, not tonight. Not tonight, but, you know, thank you for thinking about me that way. And because I wouldn't go into all things. I don't drink. This. You know, then I have to face up in class again with a different idea of who I am. So, again, I had to just, okay, we'll take a rain check. Maybe I'll let you know. But not tonight. That is what we're talking about. Dhyanasangha, associating with people who are not connected with Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness, we have a good time too. We have kirtan, get to dance. We have prasadam, we get to eat in a very, very, very wonderful, congenial, friendly atmosphere. So those things that they do in nightclubs, in the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance, we do not only in the mode of goodness, but in the mode of transcendence. We do for Krishna. So, if you've never, and some of the children are listening, if you've never been to a nightclub, you are not missing anything. I can tell you that. You're not missing anything. If you never go to a nightclub, so much the better. Believe me. Some of us were not devotees, we became devotees later on. So we have seen all of those things. And I have been to a nightclub before. I've sort of always felt uncomfortable there. Something at the back of my mind says, I don't need to be here. But people seem to enjoy themselves. This is what they like to do. And by 1 o'clock in the morning, I want to go home. But they just heat it up then, you know, 2, 3 o'clock before they go. And I'm always finding myself getting in the car and leaving here. It wasn't for me. Until finally I met a sadhu, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, who brought this thing up that when you're in the association of such people, you've been told that this is how you have a good time. So you go do it anyway, but something at the back of your mind says, I don't like this. And it's, when he said that, at least 30 people in the audience did bow their head like that. Yeah, it's like that. We did it because this is what's expected of us. This is a quote-unquote normal thing. Krishna consciousness, Sankirtan, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It gives wonderful fulfillment. So if you don't see the nightclub, you have to be a fortunate person. And take it from those of us that had to come through there and come out of there. Niyamagraha. Niyamagraha is, there's two ways it's defined. Accepting some of the scriptural rules and regulations just to do it. We do it because I've been told, well, this is what you do. That may be there, and that should only be there for when we are children. Children. Parents guide you to do some things. But when we get to be adults, we should continue with the understanding as to why we do things spiritually, and the spiritual rules of spiritual rules and regulations are the way they are. Especially when it comes to the four regulated principles. Do not eat meat, fish, and eggs. They are not designed for this particular body, this physical body. And so we eat things that are acceptable to Krishna, and meat, fish, and eggs are not part of it. You go even a little bit more and say that garlic, mushroom, and onion. Those are not meat, true enough. They are in the vegetarian or fruit category. But why do we stay away from those? A devotee wants to be at the mode of goodness at the very least. There are three modes of nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. So the foods that we just talked about, they incite or they connect more with the mode of passion. And it's going to be more difficult to stay in the mode of goodness when you're doing, when you're having the type of food stuff that take you to the mode of passion. This has been proven, and that's why we stay away from those garlic, onion, and mushroom. Although sometimes may take, some people may take garlic for medicinal reasons. For medicinal reasons, that's all right, but not for just a regular diet. So, then gambling, and then intoxication and illicit sex. Gambling, just think about it. If gambling casinos are there, if the lottery, the national lotteries are there, or the state lotteries are there, and every week or every month or every day, depending on where we go, where people go, to get into those, if those are there and they are losing, would they still be in business? Of course not. So if they still say, but they tell you that if you gamble, you're going to make a lot of money. If you just, you know, your chance, as soon as you play the lottery ticket, you are in there for one of those that's going to get $1 million. If you don't play, then you're not in. But if you play, the chances are there you're going to get $1 million. So let's just give one example and a little math to involve in it. State lottery where there are 36 numbers and you choose six of them. It's quite a popular one. The math is that there is 1.91 million or 1,910,000 chance of the state getting your money to one chance of you winning. It's stacked that much against the people who play. Yeah, there's no zero chance. If you play, you may win. That's why if somebody wins, they make a big, big, big show of it. This person won. This person won 2 million. This person like this. So to get people more and more interested in playing. But actually, it's called an expectation. The mathematical expectation is you don't have much of a chance at all. The state gets so much money. So many people don't win. 1.9 million to one. So there's no point doing it. Save your money. Intoxication, we ruin our bodies when we involve ourselves in intoxication. The physical body we're supposed to use to work, to chant, to serve, that we are abusing it. And we'll pay for it because we don't own these bodies. Krishna owns everything. This is bodies that Krishna has given to us. So we can't afford to play with it or abuse it. So intoxication is actually in the mode of ignorance, ruining the body. And the mode of ignorance is something really, really, really serious about it. And that is, any activities in the mode of goodness, there is a big chance that a person that's in the mode of, mode of ignorance, a person in the mode of ignorance, intoxication, ruining the body, will have to suffer in a particular hellish planet. And not only that, after getting out of that planet, there's a very, very high chance that the person, that soul, will not be put into a human body for that next life. They will go into this lower species that can't understand Krishna. So we have to be very, very careful. Krishna, through his spiritual master, the spiritual master is telling us, stop intoxication. Not good for us. We ruin our bodies. The bodies belong to Krishna. We're going to have to pay for it. Gambling, we already talked about that. Meat eating, we talked about that. And illicit sex, there's so, so much to that. But the basic thing is, the way our bodies are, sex life is for begetting a child. This is not an injunction. This is not a rule. This is just the way the body is designed. Why do you think women get pregnant? It's from sex life. Women get pregnant. Therefore, if you want a child, then you involve yourself that way. Other than that, you spend the time serving Krishna and serving the devotees. Because there's joy that comes from that too. You don't have to have sense gratification from getting that. Final point is about greed. Lowly. So we have to be careful where we direct our consciousness, especially when it comes to greed. When we're greedy for wealth, we have to remember one thing. Krishna conscious ideology, this is again in the purport of Text of Instruction, this side here. It states that all wealth belongs to Krishna. Everything in the material world, the spiritual world belongs to Krishna. Therefore, all wealth belongs to Krishna. So, when we understand that, and whatever we have, we put it under the administration of Krishna, and we'll explain what that means. Then there will not be any economic problems. Unless that wealth is put under the administration of Krishna, there can be no solution to the economic problems. Now, here's why. First, before we do this, Sri Prabhupada gave a very nice example here. So we'll talk about that first. Say there's a $100 bill. Somebody sees a $100 bill lying in the street. Three things may happen. The man may pick it up and put it in his pocket. Such a man is what? They are not honest. They're dishonest. And another may see the money and decide to let it be there, remain there, because, well, it's not my money. It's somebody else's property. And I don't know anything about it, so I'm not going to touch it. So this second person is not stealing the money. He's talking about it. Badamarani ki. Bonitai ki. So this second person who's left the money is not stealing, but he's not solving anything either. Because the money is on the street, it belongs to someone. The first person took the money, so that's a thief. The second person did not take the money, so he remained neutral, but he's not of much help to anyone. Especially the person that's lost the money. Now, the person that takes it and makes the effort to deliver it to the person who has lost it, that man, that person, is honest and also wise. Both. Honest because they're not going to keep it, and wise because they are aware of the fact that somebody, if the dollar bill is, that $100 bill is on the street, somebody has lost that money. And if I help them, by taking it and trying to find the person, maybe I will be fortunate enough to get the person their money back, and they will be very, very, very pleased with me that I put in that effort. That is how a devotee is supposed to think. The third person. Don't steal and don't be, oh, I don't care. It's not mine. I'm not taking it, therefore I haven't done anything wrong. So, pure consciousness is awakened by spiritual education and practice offered scientifically by the Krishna Conscious Movement. So, our final message to you is every intelligent man, and that is the last thing Srila Prabhupada talks about, should purify his consciousness and get rid of the six hindrances to devotional service, the one we just talked about, by taking wholehearted shelter of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. It is the movement that gives us the right perspective on life in general. It is the movement that would get us and our families on course towards going back to Godhead, to the place where we don't have to suffer and work hard to live life. So every intelligent man, Prabhupada says, or woman, should purify his consciousness and get rid of these six hindrances. And the six hindrances will go over again. Achara, Vyashtasya, Prajapunya, Vyagraha, Janasangasya, Lolyamcha. Achara, to collect too much or to overeat. prayers to over endeavor mundane things, and prajapa, idle talk, or criticizing, talking unnecessarily, nimagraha, practicing spiritual rules and regulations just for the sake of following them and not for spiritual advancement, or rejecting those rules and regulations and just working independently and whimsically, materially, whatever we like. Janasangha, associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness, and being greedy, lowly, greedy for mundane material achievements. So if we get rid of those, be aware of those, help each other to be in a mindset, these six I should not incorporate in my life. I should actually make sure I stay away from them. Then you are on the path back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki. Are there any questions? If you want to ask a question, you can raise your hand and Prabhu's going to give you a microphone to ask questions. Okay, you're good. Aisha, go ahead.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I missed the whole class.
Well, it's recorded.
It's recorded. But I would like to ask a question on the second point, the second hindrances. I think it's over-collecting more than needed.
Yeah.
Sometimes the mind is such a rascal, as we know, that it's very difficult to know how much we're collecting or over-collecting. So how can we check ourselves? Because, you know, someone says, but I need it for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. Where do we draw the line?
There is a rule. It's not really a rule, but it's just advice given by some of our sadhus, sannyasis. One lady mentioned, as soon as you said that, that came to my mind. If you have something that you've kept 3 years and you haven't used it, you don't need it. If a good 3 years have gone by and you have not touched that thing, you do not need it. It's got to go. It's part of clutter with the house. So at least you can start with that. It's the new year, and now you can look and say, do I really need to live with this? Since 2019, I haven't touched this. Then it's got to go. It's got to go. And the thing about it is that after those things have been taken out, there's some good feeling that comes. When clutter gets removed, it actually affects in a very positive way the mind. It does. So sometimes the general tendency is, well, you know, it's in out of sight, it's in a closet someplace. I don't need it anymore. But I don't see it. So out of sight, out of mind. But actually, when things that have not been used for more than 3 years are taken out, you will in fact be able to either have more room or replace it with something that's actually beneficial or something that you would use. So thanks for bringing up that question. But so be careful about collecting. If you've over-collected, if it maybe had some use 5 years ago and then now there's no more use for it. So they gotta go. Especially when it comes to electronic equipment. You know, they're always being upgraded, and sometimes some things, you know, I'm at fault also, some things that are there that I've used before, but I don't need them now. It's like, it's better to get rid of them. It's actually better to get rid of them. Hare Krishna. Other questions? You're pointing.
He's thinking and I'm thinking, so.
Anybody else thinking about the question?
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. Clutter, I think, also blocks negative energy. A lot of negative energy, and it was not being used. Especially, I think last week, I need to go back. I don't know whether he's here. Yes, while we were cleaning the room, last Sunday, and he asked me, "Mom, do you need it?" I said, "Haven't you it for 3 years? Picture, trash that thing." I didn't see it for 3 years. We lived without it. So, thank you. Another question that I have about mundane talks. How can we catch ourselves? I think, seem to be the biggest challenge to people in general, to catch oneself from getting into unnecessary mundane talks. How can we catch ourselves and be aware of it?
When you're conversing with each other, over a shower or whatever situation that we're in, that we're talking to each other, one of the things that Sanatana Goswami did, that's a prime example, when he was in Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya asked him to go to Vrindavan, so he went. And Sanatana Goswami would go to the people in the Vrindavan area, living there at that time. It was, well, from what I hear, it's different now, but at that time it was a very, very rural area. And people had all kinds of questions that they wanted to get answers to, advice about. And they were all material questions, every one of them. Mm-hmm. We're not asking Sanatana Goswami, how do I improve my bhakti? Or no. Things that happen with the animals at home, the cows, this happened today, my wife or my husband, this, all kinds of things they were asking. But they knew that he was a very wise person. And this is background before he came. Some of them knew. Now, he would answer those questions. But before he finishes answering the question, he will connect, as they say in America, segue. He will just connect it to some part of Krishna consciousness so that their material question had been answered, but they've also had something beneficial from Krishna consciousness added to it. That's what he was doing. It's not difficult for us to also be like that. We may talk about things that are material, but every time we're talking, somebody that's hearing should also be able to, as they respond, bring Krishna into it in terms of what to do, what not to do, what is said in Bhagavad Gita, what is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, who did what, just like we just talked about Sanatana Goswami, the way he was handling things. So that way, then, as the word has been coined now in ISKCON, we Krishnaize the conversation. It is always good to bring Krishna into our conversations. Sometimes, even when somebody hears something that is very, very strange or very disturbing, and their reaction is, there are mundane ways to respond to it, react to it, but Krishna conscious way to react to it is Hare Krishna. You know, the surprise about what happens, Hare Krishna. Now I'll tell you a little situation. My God brother, my God sister, my God brother right now, who is the temple president in Giddenagri, and his wife, we all have the same spiritual master. Then we're very good friends, me and both of them. And so one evening, we were just talking. And I just started basically talking about her. She had almost there. But I was just talking about her. And I was cracking all kinds of jokes, just putting some things about her, even physically. Compliment here, left and right, compliment this, you know. And she didn't want her head to swell, so whatever I said, and like she knew I was joking. But every time that I mentioned something, he says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And the husband just laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. But see, he brought Hare Krishna into it. He wanted to remember. It's always good to remember Krishna in all situations. Even if it's funny or ghastly or whatever it is, if you can mention Krishna's name, he has a huge advantage to it too. Anything that you express and bring Krishna into it will help you to remember Krishna So that at the time that you get ready to leave your body, the chances are very high you will remember Krishna anyway. Because even in situations that people will say OMG and all that, whatever, things that they want to, holy cow, and so many things, they still, you use Hare Krishna. People say Sri Krishna Chaitanya, you know. But even in those times when they're expressing surprise, bringing Krishna, you know, if you're not doing it, make it a practice, you bring Krishna into it, it gets very, very interesting, because then it keeps the mind thinking more about Krishna. It's kind of been a reflex thing. Then it becomes very much a part of you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru.
Hare Krishna.
Very wonderful class, I think. Perfect. Krishna. I start of the new year because a lot of us end up making a lot of resolutions. So I'm sure from today's class there are at least a couple of resolutions I have. One point of what I see in the purport is Srila Prabhupada mentions that one should always engage in the service of the Lord in the association of the Lord's devotees. So if you can just please throw some light on that, like I think what Srila Prabhupada is stressing is whatever services we are doing, it should be in the association of devotees. We should not be doing it alone, right? And any bhajan or any devotion practice.
When we, you know, first thing we have to remember, we are social beings. And people like to be together. So what better thing to do when we're together than to do activities that are Krishna conscious together? That's one. Second, in the spiritual world, it's very communal. It's also community based. And all you do is serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in love. So their activity also involves other people serving. And so the communal atmosphere is actually very, very powerful. So a few of us, maybe more than that, I don't know, have been attending sometime back the morning program early in the morning in Krishna conscious temples called Mangalarti. And after the first part of an hour or so is gone, and devotees now have a chance to chant their rounds in japa. Since a number of people are in the temple and they all pick up the beat bags and start chanting, you, if you're there, you will be chanting your rounds, but you will also hear others chanting. The effect of that is very, very, very powerful. This is chanting in the association of other devotees. It is very, 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 very powerful. We've had that association. I personally have had it with a number of people who are related to me, who also have been in different, you know, like our family members. And we all start chanting together from 5:30 on at the time where you get in Agri. It's at a different level of concentration and different level of sweetness that comes compared to a person chanting by themselves. Which you must do if you're by yourself and there's nobody else. Yes, you have to chant. It's got to the point where now there are some devotees who have gotten themselves a Zoom account, and they've contacted other people in the same temple, and therefore that time of morning, early in the morning, before they go to work, they all call in to that, and they start chanting so they can hear each other's voice. The closest electronic thing to being in the temple of devotees. But yeah, when devotees are chanting together, it's very, very, very powerful. And it's very easy to concentrate on the holy name too when they're there. You don't get distracted very much. Because what are you seeing? Your eyes are seeing other devotees who are chanting. So when your eyes want to go somewhere else, what's somewhere else? The temple room. So how do you see? And what do they hear? They hear the holy name. But they are also chanting. And then you also see them with their beatbacks. And the different activities that some people may be standing in front of a picture of a sadhu and chanting there. Some are facing the devotees, some are facing Srila Prabhupada. And so this is one of the examples. So activities in general that are done along with other devotees It's also a social way of getting together, doing things together. Very, very nice social way of getting together. Again, another example is when the Mangala thing is finished in the morning, and there are pujaris who are addressing the deities. And this, unless you're pujari, you don't really know what happens because the altar doors are closed. But there's a whole lot of activity behind the altar doors in the pujari room. The deities are being, the evening clothes are being taken off, different mantras are going on, and different pujaris are working on different deities. In the meantime, there's some scripture recording that's going on in the hearing, or some bhajan that's going on. It is extremely powerful. Very, very, very powerful, and very purifying too, I might add. So again, another activity. So it's always, you know, when we work together in Krishna consciousness as a team, there is some sweetness that comes to it, or there's some elevation that normally a person doing it by themselves would not get. Therefore, that's why it is in fact always suggested that you should do, not that you couldn't do by yourself, but suggested that, you know, in the association of devotees, whenever you get a chance to serve that way. Serve that way in the association of devotees. Because there's so much that you can get from it. Any other questions? Okay. I just never would die, except on the basis of Lord Shri Prabhupada. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for a wonderful class. Very good topic as well. So, Prabhu, my question is regarding the gambling. Can you please shed some light on that? Like, what we can consider as gambling? You know, like very simple gambling, like going to the casino and putting some money to earn some money, right? There are other forms of gambling could be there, like buying a lottery ticket, or playing any other games, like maybe for fun's sake, also like a raffle, or putting some money in stock to gain some money, right? So how do you define the gambling in this context?
There, since you mentioned stock, and that's the situation that's been going on, a long argument in this kind about stocks. What is the whole purpose of stock market? So there are companies that are having monies raised for them to expand. So when there is a situation where a person says, okay, I will put this money into this, I'll buy some shares in this particular company, and they buy it, and it gets to a point where, because of the company's strength, say an hour or so later you check, and the money is going up, the shares are worth more, so you bought it lower, and if you can sell higher, then you can get a profit from it. But what's the whole point about shares? It is to help a company, what? To expand. So a large company, this is where it beats my imagination. Can a large company take your money and be able to spend and get profit? Sri Jagannamadhi Subhada Marani Ki. And be able to make profit and give you back your money in 1 hour. Is it possible? The answer is no. But when you have a startup company that definitely needs money and selling shares low, and that money is going to go into definitely expanding the company about a year or so, 2 years or so, that is the actual purpose of you know, that makes more sense to do. So while there's a gray area, people argue that, well, in one sense it's gambling, but that's why I brought both situations up. I normally don't, but if you're going to, and if you're going to hear from me, I'll tell you go to a startup company because there's a very, very, very high chance that your money will be used not for the purpose of gambling to make more, or maybe you will just lose. A company that is starting off just might be able to do well And your money will help the company to grow. Or it may go to our business too, which means, well, that's just the way it is. An investor is an investor. But people who are well, the companies that are well established, and people just go in to buy, just basically just so after a while, I'll watch how things go and then I'll just sell later on. That actually definitely borders gambling. Borders because that's your motive. It's the motive of the person that's going in. You don't even have to be the stock market sometimes. When sometimes the person is starting a business and connect with some of their friends and saying, I'm doing so and so and so and so and so. Here's my plan. And if you help me with such amount, part percentage of this company is yours. Yeah, that makes sense. You're helping somebody to have their company go up. Yeah, that makes sense. I don't see that as gambling at all. That's being a part of helping a new company grow. But the established ones, the people just play, that's definitely borderline gambling, if not gambling directly. So we have to be careful. Hare Krishna. Good question. Any other questions? Okay, so we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki. Tantra, next of instruction key. Nithai Guru Prabhanande, Hari 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 Guru. Happy New Year. Started on the right foot. Hare Krishna.